Today we're going to start a new series on forgiveness, and this month of April is going to be focused on forgiveness. And people often ask me, you know, if you could summarize forgiveness in one simple definition, a sentence, it would be this, simply this: let go and let God. Now, it is a topic that we'll go over the next few weeks in depth. Today, I'm just going to kind of open up with what is forgiveness and share some thoughts, and we're going to read some scriptures. And there's many stories in forgiveness, people forgiving all kinds of things in this life that we live in. But there was one story that just kind of stood out recently to me in the news just a few days ago. You might have heard about the story that of a young athlete who was an MVP in football, and he was out there on the field, and he was with his brother, and as he was hanging out, I don't know, there was some misunderstanding, something happened there, and there was a guy that was in the bleachers. He just jumped, he stabbed the guy right in the heart, and the guy just fell, and he died in his brother's arms. Young athlete that was 18 years of age. It just happened few days ago. You might have heard it in the news. You might not have heard it in the news. But what was fascinating to me when I heard this story, it really hit me, because obviously, having boys, having kids, and something like this happening, senseless tragedy happening, it just doesn't make you feel good, you know. And as I was reading up on the news about it, and I went on to this, they interviewed his parents right after that happened. It was literally like a day after. And I was listening to the words of a father intently, because I was thinking to myself, what is he going to say to what just happened? His young boy just got killed, senseless act of I don't know what happened. I don't know the details. I'm not going to go into details. But what can he possibly say? I heard that later on. I learned they were a really committed Christian family as well. And I want to read the words of a father, because it really impacted me in a special way. And because it's just fresh, it's in the news, it's kind of been around, everybody's talking about it, I can read it to you as well. Because this is what the dad said about his son, about what happened. And this was the first time he's appearing in the cameras. He said this: he was on the right track. He's talking about his son. Jeff Metcalf said, he was loved by many. He was a leader. I'm not trying to judge, but what kind of parents did this child have? Now he's talking about the child that jumped and killed this young man. What was he thought? He brought a knife to a track meet, and he murdered my son by stabbing him in the heart. The guy was in the wrong place, and they asked him to move, and he bowed up. This is murder, Jeff Metcalf said. You know what? And this is what really struck me. I already forgave this person. Already. God takes care of things. God is going to take care of me. And God is going to take care of my family. Wow. First address about this thing that happened. He doesn't go into, you know, we're going to get justice, we're going to get this guy into prison, and who knows, all kinds of things were going into my mind as I was listening to this guy. How would I respond? And I just love how he responded in such a beautiful way. But why did he do that is a question a lot of people may ask. What was the motivator to this response that he had? And I truly, honestly believe it was the love of the Father, love of God that was in his heart. Love that has been given to him freely, that he has experienced freely in his heart, and love that he was extending freely to this young man who just committed such heinous crime. So I was really moved by that story. I wanted to share it with you and kind of open up my message with that story. Because people in this life have a hard time believing in forgiveness, and they also have a hard time in believing in free stuff as well. You know, I don't know if we ask a question when people say, we always ask a question, like, how much does it cost? And then when somebody wants to give us, offer us something for free as a gift, we always think there's a catch. There's got to be some sort of catch. If somebody says, here's a gift, I'm giving this to you for free, you're thinking, well, it's not really a gift. There's got to be something. There's got to be something that's going to come along with that. Things in life are not really free, is what people will say. And then it hits you that gift is a gift, and you get it. And oftentimes we like getting gifts, and we're getting something that maybe doesn't cost us anything. That's a gift. And now let's imagine for a moment that we have done something terrible, and we've done something bad, which I believe all of us have done at one point in our life, something that maybe we wronged someone, maybe we messed up, maybe we failed. And the question is, do we deserve the forgiveness of the other person when we hurt other people so much? Well, probably not, and there's probably a lot involved there, but what if that person just comes and says, you know what, you're forgiven for what you've done. You're free to go. You're good to go. That kind of response always moves us, and it always it opens up our perspective to that there's mercy and there is love and there's forgiveness in this world. And the forgiveness that we receive from our loving Father is not just a gift, it's the very foundation of our Christian life. We all have received the forgiveness, and that's why the title of my message today is The Gift That We Struggle to Give. The gift that we struggle to give. We all want forgiveness, don't we? When we mess up, when we do something wrong, when we wrong someone, when we lie, when we cheat, when we do something bad, we all want to be forgiven. But oftentimes, we struggle to give forgiveness and extend it to people around us. And why is it hard for us to give it? Why is it easy for us to just receive it but hard to give it? Matter of fact, I don't know if you personally struggle with giving a gift that's been given to you, forgiveness. I personally do, oftentimes. You see, forgiveness that we have received from a Father, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says this, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. You can't even say that you did something to deserve forgiveness from a Father for your sin and for your wrongdoing. It's been given to us freely, and we receive it, it says here, by faith. We believe it in our heart, and we receive it by faith. And I love how C.S. Lewis put it. He said, forgiveness is a beautiful word until you have something to forgive. But why is it so hard for us to forgive sometimes? Why is it so hard for me to forgive? Well, the first thing is I think it's not natural for us to forgive when we're being wronged. Our nature is to get even and to get revenge. Our nature is to do the payback time. You know, it's payback time. We got to pay back to this person that has wronged us. We have to, vengeance, it has to happen. It's our natural human fleshly instinct to not forgive when we are wronged. And also, it's not fair, and I hear this one a lot more than the first one. It's not fair to forgive because they have done this to me. They can't just be let go like that without some sort of repayment. They can't just leave without sense of justice. We always want to be vindicated. We always want to see justice. And someone has got to be blamed. Someone has to pay for this. This is not fair. That's the one that I use. It's not fair that I should just forgive this person. And I do realize that forgiveness is a topic, and as we go into this over the next few weeks, is a really, and I would say probably, one of the hardest things that we as Christians are called to do. Because the reason why I believe it's so hard is because it deals with our emotions, it deals with sense of justice. It deals with our trust. It deals with the betrayal when it happens. Our trust is broken. When people that we expected from so much, that we looked up to, when people around us that we would least expect to hurt us, it's really hard because it hits us deep into our soul. And it goes deeper than just the surface level things, especially if it's a person that we loved so much or that we trusted so much or we invested so much into. And yes, God in his scriptures talks a lot about his justice. God is the one who is just. And in the Old Testament, if you look at the Old Testament and the way things have been dealt with in the Old Testament, there's justice that had to take place. And if people were sinning, if people were doing things, God had to deal with it in a rigid way. But then Jesus came onto the scene, the Son of God, and he showed up and he showed his love and he showed forgiveness that we were all missing. And he forgave us. And he pardoned us. And before, while we were still sinners, he came and he died for us on the cross so that we may be forgiven and we may be made right before God. And then, when Jesus left, he left us with that same commandment to forgive. And what we call this time that we live in, is not only a time of justice, but it's also a time of justice and mercy. We have justice that's there, and what's just, and in a world of justice, there's laws and things that need to be done, like this young gentleman is probably going to have to spend a lot of years in jail because of what he did, and that's the sense of justice that this world has. But there's mercy that is a part of the kingdom that is offered through God to us that we have to extend to people. If you've ever experienced forgiveness in your life, you know how powerful that feeling is when you did something wrong and it's been forgiven to you. If you ever experienced the true love of the Father, you would know how freeing that is, that all the sin that you have done in your life and all the wrongs that you have committed have been just wiped as you put your faith and your trust in God and in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you. What I want to focus on this morning is the key scripture that we find in Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. And today, as we kind of go through this scripture and share some things that we learned from this, we're going to close off this service with communion, where you're going to be able to, maybe not in the moment, forgive, but start the process of forgiveness or letting go of something that you may have been holding on in your life for a long time. Let's read this together. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. A story of the unforgiving servant. I thought I had it open, but just give me a second here. Okay, so Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came to him, and he said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the king of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and he begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and he threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. And they came and they told the master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Wow. As we kind of unpack and talk about this, it just amazes me how Peter starts this whole conversation with Jesus by asking a question. How many times, and have we not asked that question in our mind multiple times, especially the people that we are surrounded with, that they're hurting us and they have hurt us over and over and over again, and we ask the question, how many more times should I forgive this person? And how, is there a number? I need to have a number. And that's what our human mind does. I don't know. I've watched The Chosen, this part where Peter had something, he had a little scuffle with one of the other disciples. And maybe that's a true story. I feel like Peter probably carried something in his heart that was really heavy upon him and he was wrestling with. And usually when we struggle and we carry something in our hearts, we go to the length of asking God, God, what do you think? How many times should I forgive? And then what I love about Peter here is he assumed that it was a number of times that he should forgive. And there's actually a number that's been mentioned in the Old Testament, and it was three times in a Jewish, during that time in the Jewish tradition, three times was sort of like, that's, you know, three times and that's the cap, right? But then Peter knew that, but then Peter, he didn't only double it, he upped it one. He said, seven times? So it's not three times, not six, seven times. He was assuming that this was the number that he should forgive. And Jesus gets back to him and he says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In this hyperbole, this language that Jesus is using here, is it's almost like you can't put a number on it. You cannot put a number on it. And here's my big idea. Forgiveness from this story, forgiveness is not forgetting or excusing. It's releasing the right to hold a debt. It begins with receiving God's forgiveness and flows through us to others. This feeling of unlimited forgiveness, it seems impossible to live in a day and age, to live in a day that only has so many hours that we get to share our life with other people that we love a lot, people that we live with in our households, that would keep doing something that would wrong us, do something against us, that would keep hurting us, and we just have the obligation that we just have to keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving. This is some really heavy, heavy stuff. You know, forgiveness is not, like I mentioned here, it's not forgetting. That's what forgiveness is not. It's not like, you say, we can forgive and we can still remember, and we as humans, that's what makes us humans, we have this beautiful thing called brain that God has given us, and we can remember things. for a long time as we live in this world. We can remember the hurt. And that memory is what makes us human. And only God really, and in Isaiah, he talks about God being able to forget our sins and remember them no more. But we as humans, because we live in this flesh, we can remember. So forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not a feeling either. It's not like you have to feel to forgive. Oftentimes, when we have to forgive, we're called to forgive, we don't really feel like we want to forgive. You may be feeling the pain. You may be feeling the hurt. You may be feeling the betrayal, and that's what often happens. Because we're emotional beings, sometimes it takes a long time for our emotions to actually get on with the program of forgiveness. Forgiveness is also not excusing. We don't get to just justify or even try to understand and give reasons why a person acted this way or that way. It's not justification. And forgiveness is not trusting again immediately. You may never be able to trust that person again because of maybe even they may even be in a perpetual denial and they still live in this lifestyle of hurting and doing things they're not supposed to do. But what forgiveness and how it's represented in this scripture, I love the picture because we can, in this day and age, we can understand it clearly. Forgiveness is canceling a debt. Canceling of a debt. It's removing the weight on someone's shoulders. I love how it's described of how God did that for us in Colossians 2. I'm going to read this scripture, 13 to 14. It says this, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, all sins, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." All the weight that we have had, all the sin and all the wrongs that we have ever been committed has been taken away from our back, and we do not own anything anymore. We do not owe any debt. I love that picture because in this, like I mentioned, this day and age, for us, we can illustrate it in many, many ways, but I don't know if you're sitting here this morning and you may have a debt, whether it's mortgage, whether it's car debt, whether it's whatever it is, and just imagine the bank comes to you and says, "Hey, listen, I need you to pay off your debt of the house right now. If you don't, we're going to take your house away. Or you need to pay up whatever it is, and if you don't pay up, sorry, you're not going to be able to own it anymore." And then somebody just comes alongside and says, "You know what? It would be more beautiful." I don't think bank would ever do that, but the bank just comes and says, "Hey, listen, we're going to cancel your debt. You're not able to pay it? Okay, your mortgage free." How wonderful would that be? Wouldn't that be wonderful? To be mortgage free, right? It's a great feeling. And we think that sometimes when we get, we have things happen to us like that, that we would just be grateful, we would have this great feeling, and that we would just kind of like live our life. But oftentimes, how quickly can we forget what has been done to us by God, and then we try to get even with those around us that have wronged us? And this is exactly what happened with this servant. He, instead of being joyful, in having this joy and sense of freedom and happiness to share, he shared it with his wife and kids. I'm sure he came home when he got this debt fully covered. He came home, he said, "We don't have to go to prison. It's all being forgiven. I don't even know what happened, but all the things that we have," and in this day and age, what Jesus was representing here when he was talking about the amount, it was like upwards of millions of dollars nowadays. It was impossible to get rid of the debt. And it was a massive debt. And then him sharing that joy with his wife and his kids and saying, "Listen, this is just incredible. We don't have to pay this anymore." But then, as the story goes on, there was something that was wrong in this man's heart. And he had a resentment. He had something that he held on to. And what this tells me one thing, as he kind of went on went about his life, and he met another servant, and he started, held him for the throat and said, pay me what you owe me, which was a very small amount to what comparison to what he is being forgiven. It tells me one thing. Just because we have been forgiven for our sins, it does not mean that we will automatically start walking in forgiveness. It does not mean that just because you become a Christian and you get your debt paid by Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and all the sins that you've done in the past, everything that you've committed, it's all been wiped, it's all been cleansed. It doesn't mean that you're automatically gonna go and start forgiving all the people in your life that are hurting you. It takes a heart change. It's a process of transformation, and the Bible talks about this. It begins, obviously, the process of transformation begins at our conversion when we accept the forgiveness that's been given to us through Jesus. But then it is the work of the Holy Spirit in us that is being done, and it's working in us to actually, this process of holiness and righteousness where we take part of what Jesus took part for us. And that's why we have to pursue Christ and his holiness and his righteousness so that we would actually be able to let go of things that have been done to us. This is a really hard topic. And that's why I believe oftentimes when people have a hard time forgiving, that it is, unforgiveness is a reflection of our spiritual condition. Forgiveness and unforgiveness is a reflection of our spiritual condition. And our willingness to forgive to others is indicative of our own understanding and appreciation of God's forgiveness towards us. And what unforgiveness is, it's choosing to carry a burden that we were never meant to bear. That's what happens when we do not forgive. And I love this quote by Lewis Smays. He said this, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." That's what forgiveness is. See, this pride, this entitlement, this sense of our own flesh, it can hold us captive, and it can pull us back, and it can pull us away from Christ. And we can be prisoners and not even know it. We can walk in this as slaves in this flesh because we're allowing the pride and sense of entitlement to keep us captive, just like he did this servant in this story. And he didn't fully and he didn't truly realize the love of the Father that has been given to him. And this is where everything begins, I believe. It is our love for others always flows from the depth of knowing how deeply we are loved. Our love and our forgiveness to others, always flows from the depth of knowing how deeply we have been forgiven. It all starts at that love that we receive and we sense from the Father. There's always a cost for unforgiveness. There's always a cost for not letting go, for holding on. And it wasn't a pretty cost. We saw it at the end. It was actually terrible. And that's why I believe that as Christians, forgiveness should be our lifestyle. Forgiveness is a lifestyle because Jesus is pointing out here, he says 70 times 7. It's basically choosing to live in forgiveness daily. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind, be compassionate, forgiving each other. And I believe what happened to this man, this servant in his story, can easily happen to us if we do not learn how to get our heart immersed in the love of God, and if we don't allow God to make our heart soft, and His Holy Spirit that's working in us and through us. It's only really through the true love of God that we can experience this love. And we can, at any moment in our life, if we really want to, experience that true love of the Father. So it's not a one-time act. It's this continual process that requires a lot of humility, compassion, and obviously reliance on the strength of the Holy Spirit and on the strength of God. In our own strength, I believe it's going to be really, really hard for us to let go, especially when it comes to hurts that are deeply rooted, that are just, there's things that people have been, that people have done that you can almost say this is impossible to forgive. And I actually got asked that question multiple times in my life. Is there a sin that we as Christians just can't forgive and can't let go of? And I always, my answer always to that question is there a sin that God can't forgive you? He can't let go of in your life? And then most people will say, probably not. Because everything, like we read that verse, all transgressions and all sins have been forgiven to us, no matter what we have done. So if there's no sin that God cannot forgive us, then there's no sin that we cannot forgive others. And why does this matter to God? Because verse 35, it says this, so my heavenly Father also will do to you, to each of you, from his, to each of you from his heart, if you do not forgive his brother his trespasses. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses, his sister as well, his child, his cousin, his friend, whoever it is, our heavenly Father. And one of the things that really strikes me, even we'll talk about this next time when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and part of the Lord's Prayer that we all know is also there's a part, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. We know this so well. We've heard it so many times, but we somehow have a hard time living it out. We hope and we believe that God will forgive us all the things that we've ever committed yesterday and all the things that we did this last week and all the times we've cheated and we've done this and we've did this. But somehow we still pray a prayer. If you still pray the Lord's Prayer, I would encourage you to do. If you still pray, there is a line in there that says that God will forgive you your sin as long as you let go of the sins of those around you. Does that mean that God does not forgive our sin if we do not forgive others? Well, as hard as that sounds, yes, 101%. That means that we may feel like we've been forgiven. We may think in our heart, well, we prayed this prayer, and you know, I've repented over what I have done yesterday and what I've done to my ex or my kid or my sister or my brother. I have repented over that and I am free. But have you forgiven? Have you let go of the betrayal, of the resentment, of the hurt, and of the pain that has been done to you from that someone that you've trusted so much? And I wish that this was just an option for us, where we could just say, this is just optional, you know. Those of you that want to do it, stand up. Those of you that don't want to do it, you can keep sitting down, and that's fine. And we can just move on with our life. But this is the foundation of our Christian faith, where we have to find a way with God's help to truly forgive from our heart the wrong that has been done to us. I believe that's where the freedom begins for most people. I believe that's where blessings flow for most people. And we've heard even a lot of, I've read some things on research that has been done for people that are holding on to grudges and resentment and hurt and pain, and how that affects their health even. That's been proven by science. See, we know what unforgiveness does to us first, and then with our relationship with God. And this is why I love how C.S. Lewis put it. He said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. That's what it means to be a Christian. And God, I pray right now that you would help us, that you would truly help us to solidify this truth in our hearts, that we would really, that this truth that we may even have known since we were little, that we may even have prayed since we were little, I pray that this would really take root in our lives right now, and that you would begin to work in our hearts, God, that we would be so immersed in you and your love, and that we would be able to give what has been freely given to us, the gift of forgiveness. In Jesus' name.